How dare he do that? How dare Jesus teach a story like that one? I mean, this story lifts up a bad man. It's a story that turns the tables. Jesus does this all the time. This bad man is lifted up and not the good one. The person who did what you're supposed to do. I mean, aren't you supposed to be paying attention to the law? Aren't you supposed to be doing, well, fasting, tithing, all those things that the law requires? And yet Jesus lifts up this tax collector. And what does he say? He says that this man is going to his home justified and not the Pharisee. What sense is there in this? None. And yet it's gospel. It's a strange gospel, isn't it? A strange gospel. You know, what sense does it make for God when God's people confess their sin in the midst of that drought and came to the Lord and flung themselves on the altar seeking an answer that God would do something, and God didn't. God had enough, said no more. Does it make sense? Sometimes the gospel's got to shake us up. We have before us in the gospel a story of two men, two people. Question: which one are you? Which one are you? Are you the Pharisee? Or are you the publican, the tax collector? Now be honest. No fudge in here. That's the thing about faith. Faith is not for fudging. Faith is for truth and reality, in honesty with God and one another. So which one are you? Good question. May depend upon the day, right? Some days we're the Pharisee. I mean, we're doing the right things and we're trusting in that doing of the right thing. Yesterday, said farewell to a neighbor of ours, Martha Gosnell. Very clear in the service, though, that her salvation was not dependent upon all her goodness. And she was a good person, wasn't she? Made abundantly clear that it was because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ that her life to come has depended. We don't trust in all our good stuff. And this is good stuff. Think about it, folks, that this Pharisee was doing. He was fasting. And fasting is a good thing. I know some of us struggle with that. Some of us find it easier than others. Fasting is not just about refraining from food. Fasting is about clarity, gaining clarity about who we are and where we stand before God. And the truth that probably should be revealed during fasting is that when it comes to where we stand with God, probably not very close. It's not for justification that we fast. It's really for confession, releasing. You know, confession, fasting is a releasing of food, right? Confession is a releasing of sin. Not that we're the ones that do it, but that God is involved in the whole process. Kim, which one are you? The Pharisee or the tax collector? Now, note when Jesus lifts up the tax collector, he's not lifting up the behavior. He's not saying, well, Pharisee, bad. Tax collector, good. But there is something about this man and his honesty before God. Now, who knows what he did the night before? I mean, he could have been out. Well, I'll let your imagination go there. The simplest prayer in the Bible is found right here. Oh, we've in the church kind of tied it up to Latin words and made it sound all nice and pretty. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. One of the simplest prayers in the Bible. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Reality. Truth. Honesty. That's what God wants, isn't it? I mean, it's not that God wants tax collectors necessarily, though forgive me those of you who have worked or do work for Social Security or some others. That's not what we're saying. In that day and age, tax collector was a very bad person. Next week, we're going to hear the story of another tax collector who was kind of up his tree. You know that story. But we'll go there next week. Confession. That's sort of the theme for today. That's why this message is towards the front of the service, because that's where we put a time of confession, isn't it? Before we come to God, we reveal our truer selves. You know, yeah, we go through a time of praise, but the praise isn't over our goodness. The praise is over God's goodness, God's steadfast love, God's mercy. And as we lift up that mercy, we cling to it and recognize our own brokenness. I love this hymn that we sang at the start of worship. Probably one of my most favorite. There are so many parts of that that just kick me. I mean, literally, I love it, but it kicks me. You know, that line, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. You? Do you feel that desire to wander? To turn from the God whom you love? Do you feel it? It's there in your gut. It's part of who you are. It's part of who I am. The Apostle Paul put it this way, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Anyone here who has not sinned, raise your hand. None? We all stand in need of God's steadfast love, in need of God's mercy. You know, some translations, and I noted this yesterday at that funeral, the translation that was read in the place that I'm used to hearing steadfast love instead spoke of God's constant mercy. Did some of you who were there hear that? they're intertwined. Yes, God is steadfast and God is true. But God wants honesty on our part. And all of us stand in need. In need. We are, when it comes right down to it, not really that much better than anyone else. If anything, for many of us, it was a mistake of birth, perhaps, that got us to the place that we are today. I mean, there but for the grace of God, go I. You've heard that phrase. You know, we were born in, many of us, into a good home. We are blessed by that. But we could have been born into a very dysfunctional family, an abusive family. We could have been born into a home that knows hunger, that knows want, knows struggle, accident of birth, blessing, fortune, grace. We all stand in need of God. And it's God who, and this is the amazing thing about the gospel, it's God. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter if we're the best person around who do all the right things, or whether we have messed up royally. Turn into God, honestly, completely. Not waiting for the moment, you know, that so many of us wait for to turn to God. You know, when you read the sign out there, I really like, I'm glad I passed that on to that responsibility for changing the sign out front to others, because they come up with some pretty good ones out there. Anybody catch that as you were coming in? What does it say? Anyone? When things, how is it put? Mel, do you remember? When times are good, is that it? When times are good, God is good. When times are hard, God is better. Yeah. Often we don't come to God until the times are bad. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's us all, folks. I know I am. I know I am. I have fallen short. I stand in need of God's mercy. I have fallen short. You don't have to look very far this past year or so to see that. You probably don't have to look very far in your own life to see how far short you have fallen. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And the rest is in God's hands. Of course, that bit, I like how that, you know, the story is really about those who lift themselves up as opposed to those who humble themselves. It's a story about humility. But it does say there that, you know, Jesus says that this man went home justified. Now, which home is Jesus talking about? I kind of like leaving that a little bit onto his, up in the air. Was it just his own home? He went to his own home, made right with God? Or was it talking about the journey home that we are all on the way? The home of God, the kingdom of God. We're all on a journey in that direction. And every step along the way, we're needing to confess and release that sin, because sin is like a chain that grabs onto us and pulls us down. But what we need instead is the releasing of God that lets us, and it's not something that we do, is God who sets us free, who breaks those chains. And there are some other fetters that come. I love that line. How does it put it in that thing? Let your grace now, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Yes, I am prone to wander, but we depend upon that fetter, that chain, that tie that ties our hearts and pulls us in God's direction. That's what grace is. Grace is a pulling force in our lives. It pulls us toward God. And confession is really, you know, kind of a two-step, if you will. It's like a dance. I only thought about this just now. Now, when it comes to dancing, that don't ask me to demonstrate, but you know, it's that pulling and the releasing. Because if we don't release, we're kind of like this, right? And I'm no ballerina or anything, but we're pulled. I guess I should be pulling this way, shouldn't I? You know, it's and it's God who breaks those chains and binds us to Himself and to one another. You know, bind us together.